Philadelphia, are you ready?
No, he said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. And today on the show, we have the hitman for hire, Mr. Grimm, on the show. Welcome to Brotherly Love.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I wanted to start off the show with a question. Now, you call yourself the hitman. Now, that's not in the same sense as, say, Bret Hart hitman, because he wasn't really a hitman. Now, are you more of a hired gun hitman?
Yeah, I would say so.
So, who are some of your clients, or do you not have clients yet?
Any and everybody who needs somebody taken out.
So you pretty much leave this up. It's a blanket for any promotion that needs someone beat up.
Pretty much.
It's a good way to market yourself. I mean,
say that again?
I said it's pretty smart. It's a good way to market yourself. You don't limit yourself to any promotion. You can travel anywhere and beat people up.
That's pretty much how it is.
See, I'm smart. I told you, Larry.
So, now, speaking of that and taking anything that anyone wants to give you, in AEW, you have Shawn Spears, who's looking for a partner. How do you think you'd fit in there in AEW?
I think I would fit in perfect. I mean, because I heard Cody say he was looking for, you know, diversity, which, you know, they don't have that many people of color on their roster. And, you know, not just people of color, but, you know, people of color that's my size. I mean, I think the biggest person that they have that's African-American is, like, Awesome Kong. And that's a female. They don't really have, you know, big heavyweight, you know, who can do the stuff that I can do on them.
Now, for the people that don't know, what size are we talking?
Well, currently I'm 5'10", 2'8".
Wow.
No, I don't think that they have many that, I would say over 225. I mean, Luchasaurus maybe in the men's column. So, yeah, you're talking you'd be one of the biggest guys on the roster if you joined it.
Yeah, I mean, they do have that guy that's with MJF. He's pretty solid.
Yeah, he's probably over 3. But, yeah. I mean, 280, the way you move, and from what I've seen, the way you move is, I mean, you're almost like a hybrid. Like a heavyweight luchador.
Exactly, and it's like, one thing that's helped me excel is that, you know, going into a match or like especially like a place where I'm not known, people will look at me and be like, oh, who is this fat guy? This match is about to suck. And then, you know, when I pull out something that they haven't really seen before, they're like, oh, shit. Like, you know, where did that come from? So it's funny, you know, when I make my entrance and I hear people talking shit about me, you know, I just look at them and smile.
Now,
and then after I do that incredible move, I look at him.
Now, does that happen often?
Surprisingly, it does. Or it did. It doesn't happen as much as anymore because, you know, people are starting to know exactly who I am, which is a good thing. It took long enough, but, you know, better late than never.
All right, so let's not brush past it. How long has it been? Like, how long have you been in the business for?
I've been wrestling for about 6 years now. But things really didn't start taking off until I switched from the football gimmick to the gimmick that I have now. And one thing, you know, I was told because I was sending my matches off to, you know, credible people to be critiqued. And they were telling me, you know, you have to get out of these companies that are only drawing like 30, 40 people and, you know, it makes your video look bad. So they said, you know, I should go the whole quality over quantity route. And once I did that, you know, it kind of sucked because I lost a lot of bookings. You know, I kind of, you know, I went through like a depressed stage where, you know, I just felt like I wasn't going to go anywhere with wrestling because it was very hard reaching out to the credible companies and getting, you know, a reply, but not only a reply, hey, let's give you an opportunity. I would have some people, it's actually one company. It was Legacy Wrestling. I would hit up the promoter and he would tell me, man, you just need matches with credible people. Like, you know, send me some video or like some footage of matches with credible people. And, you know, it might look better. It'll be better for you. I'm like, but y'all are booking the credible people. Like, if you give me that opportunity, you know, you can get what you want.
So it's almost like these companies that you were talking to didn't want to be your launching point.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, we're obviously not in the business. Is that something that happens often, or is there certain people that happens to over others? And again, you can only go from speculation.
Like, every case is different. You know, there are companies where it's like it's who you know and not what you know.
Yeah.
And that'll help you get you that opportunity. Like, you'll have some people who really can't wrestle that well that are on these really good shows just because of who they know. And then you have like people, let's say like me, you know, who can do 10 times more than what they can do, but they're just not willing to give me that opportunity.
Now, would you say nowadays it's not so, not just the wrestling that's going to, like, if you're going to go for strict bookings and not talk about like who you know, not what you know, would you say that it's not just solid wrestling? Like, you have to have a complete, like, persona attached to you? No?
No, not at all. Because if you look at, let's go with Leo Rush, right?
Okay.
Now, Leo Rush really didn't have a gimmick. I mean, you know, his name was Leo Rush. He changed it from L.I. Green to Leo Rush and, you know, just started doing more athletic stuff and having better matches. I wouldn't really say that was a gimmick or a persona more than a moniker.
No, you're right, and I didn't really think of it that way. So, I mean, I guess if you can't wrestle, you need that extra something to get you booked, but, I mean, having the complete package is obviously what you want.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, for some people who really can't wrestle, you having, like, a good gimmick, you know, can work.
So,
like, because if you can entertain the fans and have them wanting more, like, you really won't have to do too much.
Now, I mean, saying that and impressing the fans and not having to do too much, you said that when you did it and people would second guess you as you walked out and then you'd wow them in the ring. Where do you get that style from? What inspired you to do that style of wrestling?
Basically because people told me that I shouldn't. Like, when I was training, you know, I was trying to learn how to do moonsaults and like, you know, different athletic things. And, you know, people were just telling me, oh, you need to just worry about being a big man. You don't need to do stuff like that. And I was like, why are they telling me this? And, you know, when I thought about it, I was like, you know, it was like a jealousy thing. Because you got a new guy coming in who can do better things than, you know, the people who's been in the business, or at least where, you know, where I was training at, you know, who's been in there in a shorter time that can do more impressive things than you, and you don't want that spotlight taken away.
So it's double-handedness trying to hold you down?
That's honestly what I felt it was. And once I started, you know, not listening to what other people told me to do and started doing things my way, you know, I started getting noticed.
So did you build up a lot of animosity during those times? Or did you use it as fuel?
It got to the point where the company that I started training with, like, I was going to other schools and learning how to do, like, the stuff that they couldn't teach me. And they got mad and, you know, let me go. They gave me an ultimatum. They said, you either train just here or you can leave. So, you know, I ended up leaving. And that was another thing that kind of, you know, put me in an awkward position to where, like, I had a place to really call home. And then I didn't. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of different things to my story that has brought me to where I am today. And, you know, to be completely candid with you, if it wasn't for them letting me go the way that they did, I probably wouldn't have, you know, been so driven to prove them wrong or to make them eat those words.
I mean, sometimes that's the best type of motivation, though. Someone that doesn't believe in you and you have that extra drive to be like, wait a minute, you got to have that belief in yourself.
Yep.
When people are telling you no.
So, and that's what it was. Like, you know, when people tell me not to do something, I always wonder, why don't they want me doing this? I mean, and especially because, but yeah, like, just me being the athletic person that I am is what's gotten me, you know, noticed and got me the opportunities that I have.
So where did this all start? Like, what were these? I don't want to know the company names. I don't want you to say name any names or whatnot. But where did you start? Like, what state?
I started in Baltimore, Maryland. It was actually Dundalk. I mean, like, even though I don't mind putting the name out there because I'm not, you know, talking negatively about people who were, like, the people who were there that was doing it are gone. So.
Oh, so they started a new regime after you left anyway?
I mean, it was to the point where me only being in the business maybe, like, I would say maybe a year and some change, it got to the point where they didn't really have a trainer. And they asked me to be the head trainer.
After a year and a half?
Yes, because nobody else would, you know, really wanted to train or, like, to train the people. So, I mean, like, every time I tell somebody this story, I tell them, you know, was I qualified for it? No. But I had to do what I had to do to help, you know, other people get ring work as well as myself.
Oh, so you took that on. That wasn't just like they asked you and you said no. You actually took that on.
Yeah, I mean, I want to? No. But I did what I had to do to keep getting ring work. But the thing that would piss me off is, you know, that same guy who was telling me not to, you know, worry about doing 450s and diving, it was the same guy who would come up to every, you know, training session that I was doing, knowing he was the vet, and would just sit there and watch instead of taking over.
Hmm.
Yeah. So imagine how I felt about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually one of the first times we're actually hearing stuff like that actually happen, which is interesting to us because, I mean, you get so focused on the glamour and all the good that you kind of forget that, I mean, this business has a reputation of, yeah, eating guys alive.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just that, you know, like, it's the politics and, you know, people coming in. Like, when you're coming into the business, you have a lot of guys, you know, who probably weren't anything, you know, in their life, in high school. They probably weren't the cool people who, you know, now have a clique and they feel entitled. So they try to boss you around and, you know, try to take liberties on you and stuff like that. And it's a lot of that going on as well. You know, when I first started training, it was two guys who, like, every training session that they had, and this is why I stopped going to their sessions and started going to another day, it would literally be, you know, they work on, you know, like, the basics. And then the vets would just practice moves on these two kids, like, the whole time. Like, they would just do a line of them just making them take moves, like power bombs, face butt, like everything. And I'm just like, you know, like, what am I learning? I'm not learning anything. Yeah. Like, but I will say they didn't do that to me.
Well, who the hell wants to lift 280 pounds that many times?
Well, it's not even that. Well, that too. But when I was coming into the business, like, I wasn't how I am today. Like, I would say I'm a lot more humble And I had that street mentality behind me, because I was literally a dude, you know, who used to be with the neighborhood gangs and the, you know, wrong crowd coming into the wrestling business. So just imagine you trying to tell me something and, you know, because I don't take shit from nobody, especially on the street. Like, that's honestly like where the whole hitman gimmick came from.
So you're just playing yourself. You just turned it up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when I was in, you know, my neighborhood gang, I would never jump anybody. Like, and I told them, you know, I don't want to jump anybody. You know, I don't need a gun. Y'all do whatever y'all want to do. So what they would do is, it was somebody they had an issue with, and, you know, if they weren't trying to shoot it out, they would send me to go fight the dude. We'd meet up and we'd fight. And that's pretty much like how I got the whole hitman thing. You know, I was literally their hitman.
So you have what would be called dangerous. Like, you have actual fighting knowledge. Like, this is what, this not like your career or whatnot, but this is what you did before you started wrestling. You fought.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, it's like, this is a lot better because, for one, I'm not like intentionally making people bleed anymore, or, you know, have to worry about, you know, busted lips and cut eyes and stuff like that. Or, you know, I like this better, and it helps keep me calm, you know.
Now, did you, go ahead.
Like, this gives me something to look forward to. Like, not even like, you know, like, if you think about it, you know, some people just need an outlet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wrestling was my outlet.
So this is what you did to kind of clean yourself up and go more on the straight path?
I wouldn't say that, because what honestly made me get out of that lifestyle was me having my first kid. But even though I had my first kid, even though, you know, me being a hothead was turned down a little bit, I didn't fight as much. But doing this, you know, gave me a reason to actually care about, you know, say, not getting arrested, not getting into a fight and, like, possibly getting shot and killed, you know.
This gives you something else besides your kid to look forward to. This is, like, what would be, like, a hobby turned career.
Yeah, and it's potentially, like, can turn into a career. And then, you know, I bring my kids with me on the shows, and, like, just seeing them, you know, how they look at me when I'm in the ring, you know, that right there, it means a lot. Like, yeah. I want to keep doing this for them.
You're like a superhero now.
Exactly.
And that's, I can imagine. I mean, it's probably one of the best feelings in the world.
It is, especially because I have a 2-year-old, and she comes to my my show. And if you look on my Facebook page, you can see a photographer took a photo of her watching me in my match. And she's just so engrossed, and she has her head, like, in between the guardrails.
That's cool. That's freaking awesome. So, yeah, we'll try and go now towards the future. Are you still in the same area, still in the Baltimore area? You pretty much go wherever you possibly can.
Well, I don't live in Baltimore. I live in Bowie. But it's weird because I wrestle everywhere else except for, like, you know, my home state, for real. Like, I used to wrestle for this company called C3W, but they kind of did some, you know, some shady stuff that I didn't agree with, and it kind of, you know, I was their champ, and even though it kind of sucks because they literally pushed me to the moon, like, I was, you know, for one, I was their champ. Two, this is the first company who literally made tickets with my face on it. Like, all the tickets were just to me, and it was like they were building everything around me.
So you were the top guy.
I was. But it's just, it sucks because, like, even though, you know, they were running shows, you know, where I went to high school at, like, in the same city, you know, I really couldn't still be affiliated with them, you know, after what they did. And, like, especially we had a hour-long conversation about why they shouldn't do it, and they said that they wouldn't do it, and they did it anyway. So I had to vacate the title and, you know, I don't have any heat with them. Like, I still wish them the best, but, you know, sometimes you just have to do what you got to do, man.
Do you find yourself, like, sensing those types of situations coming?
Well, with... I wouldn't say sensing, but for some reason, I always find myself in some fucked up position. Like, it's not even like, you know, I could be doing good, and then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, like with that situation, that happened. I end up catching heat from another company just because I was the champ there. And, like, what pissed me off about it was the fact that, you know, somebody from this company, you know, I worked their show, had one of the best matches that night, and I was like a late fill-in, like somebody had canceled and they brought me in and, you know, killed it with a guy that, you know, nobody probably thought that I would have a really good match with. And, you know, I talked to him and said, yeah, you know, we're definitely going to bring you back, but I don't hear anything else from them until that company did something that they didn't like. And they hit up my, like, they got in my inbox talking about, you know, oh, we don't like what they did. Oh, you need to drop the title. And because I didn't agree to drop the title right then and there, the person blocked me. And, you know, now that company, you know, really won't book me right now, which it sucks because just because I didn't do what you wanted me to do right then and there, like, I mean, I just feel that's kind of childish. Like,
Yeah, it's definitely a tough spot to be in. And then, I mean, does that hurt you for further bookings too? I mean, does that, like, catch wind as, like, now they label you as difficult to work with or something?
I mean, that one person can label me as difficult to work with, but I showed the messages, like, that we had to different people, and they said that, you know, it was just childish. Like, what she did was uncalled for real. But, like, what really pisses me off was I had bookings from this company that I left, you know, from the time that I left all the way to December in multiple states. Like, I was projected to make over $2,000 this year with that company. And that the company who, you know, reached out to me finally because they had an issue with me being the champ offered me nothing.
So they offered you experience?
I mean, I wouldn't say they even offered me that. So
where do you find yourself working now? Like, where do you have a place that you call home right now?
Well, right now, the closest place that I can really call, like, my home promotion is in Delaware. And I've been wrestling there for about maybe 2.5-3 years.
Have you run into a big fellow named Franco Varga yet?
I don't think Franco Varga likes me, to be honest.
No?
I mean, I don't know what the reason behind it is, but I do know that him and I, we had a, like, have you heard of Limitless Wrestling?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we both got a tryout at their tryout show, I think 2 years ago, and it was in Orono, Maine. And him and I was supposed to be in a, it was supposed to be me, Franco Varga, and Fox Vineyard in a triple threat match. Like, and that was our trial match. But I got taken out of that match. And he ended up working, I think it was Sebastian Cage, Franco, and Fox. And that match really wasn't that good. But me, I worked a guy named Manny Martinez. And, you know, the crowd, like, they literally asked for me to come back. So right after that moment, you know, I became a main roster member on Limitless. But I don't know if he's, like, kind of mad at me because of that. But, you know, I've reached out to him about, you know, possibly working with him. But, you know, sometimes you just can't. Like, I'm not going to keep reaching out to somebody who really shows no interest whatsoever.
Hey, maybe we can be the outlet for you. That's what we're here for.
I mean, to be like, look, I'm willing to work with anybody, or almost anybody. Like, they can't be homophobes or anything like that. But, you know, I'm always trying to do good business, man.
All right, so you touched on it. You'd work with anybody. Who are some of the top names now that you would like to get in the ring with? Who are some, I mean, different styles from yours, or maybe bigger guys, smaller guys?
All right, so one of them, I would definitely like to get back in the ring with A.R. Fox. Yeah. Him and I, we've had two matches already. One was a single. The second was a casket match, turn body bag match, which, you know, really, that was a really good match. Like, I'm still hearing, you know, good things about that match.
Is there anywhere we can catch that match?
Yeah, I can actually send it to you.
Great.
Because it's on YouTube.
We'll post it.
Appreciate that. But I definitely want to get in the ring with Jeff Cobb. I've worked Joey Janela twice. You know, I would definitely like to get in the ring with him again at some point. Another one is AJ Gray. And Ace Romero. Yeah, definitely. But me and AJ Gray, we did a tour in Mexico together. And, you know, we were a tag team, but we never had an opportunity to go one-on-one. So I would, you know, definitely like to get in the ring with him, you know, at some point.
All right. I have since you mentioned AJ Gray, I wanted to throw this question out for you. He's hosting and pretty much heading up For the Culture at the Collective Mania weekend. Now, I've noticed that wrestling, and like, and you said it yourself, can be quote-unquote clicky, but there's also a sense of, like, people that have each other's backs no matter what, and, like, quote-unquote brotherhood with people. I feel like, what just from what I see, social media and whatnot, that people of color, they seem to have a stronger unity, like, in the back, and they always seem to be pushing each other, where you'll see other groups, like, kind of try and tear each other down, but it doesn't seem to happen that way. Now, with their For the Culture and that show and the spotlight that it's going to put on the people of color, how important is that in the business today?
I mean, I find that it's really important to have, you know, something like that going on, because, you know, you have an African-American person doing the booking, and, you know, it's a show that's like, you know, it showcases, you know, black people who might not really get those opportunities that they need. And I mean, I like what they're doing. I'm kind of a little bummed that, you know, I wasn't able to get on it, but, you know, it happens. Like, sometimes it's about, like, we go back to saying about who you know. And I feel that, you know, that's kind of the case with me in that position. You know, I didn't really have the who you know in that situation.
Yeah, and there's also that, I mean, it looks like it's going to go off with as a huge success this year. I mean, that puts it to happen annually. I mean, you have to look forward to something like that to potentially be on one of those shows in the future.
Yeah, but I mean, also, it was a show that was ran in D.C., and, you know, it's called Fight Club. They did a Pan-African tournament, and, you know, it was a tournament for us black people. Like, you can look on Fight Club, they have a Facebook page. You can look on there. The finals, you know, it was me versus Trisha Dora versus Darius Lockhart.
A triple threat intergender match?
Yep, that was the finals. And I mean, you know, a couple of different people, like, were booked, like, in this tournament. You had Barrington Hughes, he was supposed to be booked. O'Shea Edwards, he was booked in the tournament. You had some people from California, some people from Texas, you know, Atlanta. I mean, you had a lot of different, you know, individuals of color who was in this tournament. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard of it, but this is a tournament that, you know, that moment that Trisha Dora actually won, you know, the tournament, it was special.
I'm definitely going to check it out now that you've mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, even though I didn't get on, you know, the Culture show, I was on something that, you know, in my eyes was kind of bigger.
Definitely.
So, Mr. Graham, moving forward, is there, I mean, the question that everyone likes to ask and wants to know about talent that's looking for a place to work. AEW, do you, like you said, they're lacking the type of athlete that you are and the skill set that you have that comes with your size. Do you think that you would be a better fit there? Do you think you could be a better fit maybe in somewhere like NXT? Or does it really matter at this point?
I feel that I would probably be better a better fit in AEW opposed to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if you think about it, NXT has their, you know, their big guy, and it's somebody that I've been getting compared to a lot, which is Keith Lee.
Damn. Like,
at his size, there is, like, I don't really think they need me there.
Yeah.
But if you go and look at AEW, like, who do they really have?
Now, do you, no, you're right. AEW, and we know we say this, and a lot of people say it, they lack the depth right now. They're still new. They're still a new company starting out. They're going to start figuring out where they need to pick people up to fill their roster, because right now they're just running almost like their greatest hits every week. So you're going to need that depth eventually for AEW, and they're going to start to probably start picking from the litter from the independents, or start grooming different independent companies to start filtering in for them. You kind of already see it with Beyond and Bar Wrestling. They're sub AEW brand almost.
It's NEW in New England.
Yes, very true. Northeast Wrestling, who we've seen a couple times.
Yeah.
But I mean, what about one of the smaller promotions like Impact or NWA or something like that? Ring of Honor.
I mean, I would definitely be down to work with NWA and Ring of Honor. But it's just about, you know, like it's just what the, like, what they need. You know, because sometimes, I mean, it really sucks. Let's go back to, you know, the whole submissions with the Shawn Spears thing. It's like I went and had like 15K in 24 hours and, you know, did not get a retweet from Spears whatsoever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought about it and I was like, well, you know, maybe you didn't retweet it because I didn't cut a promo. Now, if you go back and you watch the video, not once did they say you had to cut a promo. All they said is send a 30-second video. And that's exactly what I did. So now you get the ego guy who did the exact same thing that I did, and he got a retweet. So, you know, where I'm going with that is, like, sometimes it's a clicky situation. Like, sometimes, you know, it's like you don't know what people are looking for.
It's almost like it was predetermined before the post was actually made.
I mean, I can't really speak on that until I see which route or direction they go. But it does seem that way because that guy, like the YouTuber, he's the only submission that Cody Rhodes, like, retweeted.
That endorsed?
Yep.
Well, you look, he's a pretty strong following online, right?
Yeah, and it's like, if you want to compare, you know, because Sean, he had made a poll with Ego, Anthony Bowens, and the other guy.
Yes. We will call him from now on the other guy.
Yeah, I don't know what his name is, and I don't
on wanna... this show, it doesn't matter. On this show he is now the other guy.
Yeah. So it's like you retweet or post somebody who really doesn't need to be retweeted or posted. But now it's like I had that in the back of my head. What if they would have retweeted me? Like, how many more views would I have gotten?
You would have gotten a lot more views.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, sometimes, you know, and it might just be me getting in my own head, but I really feel like some people, like, just don't want to see me succeed.
I mean, I don't know the situation personally, but I wouldn't think that way just because, I mean, some people have put in like 12, 18, 20 years, and then they finally get their break. I mean,
I know that's true. I know. Trust me. I totally agree with that. But look at it like this, right? So, out of all the, you know, the retweets and the likes and stuff that I had, you know, I'm pretty sure people from Beyond, GCW, and like other places have seen it, but yet they didn't like it, retweet it, or anything like that. Oh, but I had somebody in MLW, Myron Reed, he liked it and retweeted it.
I saw you had a pretty impressive subtweet from a roster member of AEW, possibly their current women's champion, with an endorsement.
Yeah, definitely. Like, what y'all don't know, that's my mentor.
Okay.
Like, to be honest with you, she's a major, you know, player in the development of Mr. Grimm. And she's actually the one who came up with the body bag idea.
So, I mean, sometimes it's about who you know, and it sounds like you do know some people in the somebody. Right places.
But what's weird about it is this, right? So if you see, if you look at all of her different posts, like she can literally post something about her eating waffles, and it'll get like 500, 600 plus likes and retweets and stuff.
Yeah.
But when you post something about me, and you can go back and look on there, she posts something about me, and it doesn't do as well. She can literally post, like, she posted the video or the clip of me, you know, having two people on my back, catching the other one in the crossbody and then throwing them.
I mean, it's a weird beast, this social media, because I think the same thing. Like, I mean, what if I would have said the same thing, got two likes, as someone who's got 100,000 followers, and they're just hit. You got to remember that people just hit like, they don't even read it sometimes. They just say, oh, this person posted this, I'm gonna like it, I know my opinion is gonna be the same. So you got people that just don't pay attention. It's just, it's about how popular the internet is. A big popularity contest, and you have to weave your way out of it trying to get ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
So I mean, I wouldn't take the social media snub all that seriously. Just, I mean, keep grinding. I mean, you have the skill set. Do you cut promos often?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I've been starting doing more.
It seems like that's what hits. Like the really passionate or the goofy, or depending on what time of the day you're posting it. I mean, that's what seems to get people invested. They get to see not just your match and your moveset and your skill in the ring. They get to see your personality outside of it.
That's true.
And when we were talking in the beginning about saying how some people aren't the best wrestlers, but they have a good gimmick and they're a good talker, that's all their social media. That's pretty much what that's for. That's why they're getting the bookings. You get your count over 5,000, 10,000 followers, and now you start getting more bookings.
Well, I mean, that works too, but like it also, it really depends on, you know, who actually shares it.
That's also like, true.
And like the thing is, you know, let's say for instance, Danhausen, right?
Yes.
Now, he has a great gimmick. You know, I love his videos that he does. But it's like, I'm pretty sure, you know, he was struggling at one point, and then he had that right person to share it and give him an opportunity that made other people start realizing, like, what he can do.
You need that one, and it's that one endorsement.
Yes, and that's on, like, and I keep telling people this, like, I need that one opportunity in front of the right person, or, you know, that one, you know, person to just retweet it and put me over. And I think that that's what will help, you know, like, for me to start taking off even more than I have.
Sometimes that's all it takes. I mean, you just got to find that. It's almost like that niche, and just wedge yourself in there.
That's true. But sometimes it's very hard finding it.
Believe me, we've been trying to find it too.
Like, I have a lot of people who know exactly who I am, what I can do. And, you know, they say that they like my work. Even Brett from, you know, GCW, I got a message from him, you know, because Nick Gage had put me over to him. And this was like 2 years ago. And he said, you know, Nick put me over, told me about you. I really like your stuff. You're doing good stuff right now. But, you know, it's like right now we don't really have a place for you.
I'll tell you what.
And I mean, I respected that.
You would fit in perfectly right now with that scene.
And that's, like, I'm glad you feel that way. Because I feel the exact same way. I just need that one opportunity.
I mean, it's funny because people get those chances all the time. Like, they'll get on that show. And once I will say this, once you get in front of that crowd, they're going to lock you in and you will be back. That's all you need is that one shot with that crowd, because we've been in those crowds. We know that crowd. Once you get into that ring, and if you put on half of the match that you know you can, you'll be in with that crowd. So, maybe we speak this into existence and hope that it happens.
Trust me, I'm definitely hoping. You know, I'm trying to find, you know, ways to get on GCW as we speak.
Hopefully we can help be an outlet to that.
Look, all help is greatly appreciated, man.
That's what we're here for.
I can use all the help I could get.
Look, if we do nothing but talk wrestling, if we can help other wrestlers get noticed somehow, that's what we're here for. We're not here to get the breaking stories, the big scoops, and anything like that. We're basically here to shoot the shit, talk wrestling, and if we can help people in the interim, then shit, that's all we're here for.
Yeah, no, it's greatly appreciated, man.
So before we let you go, you give you the time, promote yourself, put your social medias out there, and let everyone give you a follow.
All right, so the best way you can find me is if you go to Google search or whatever search engine that you choose to use, and either put in The Hitman for Hire Mr. Grimm or Mr. Grimm with one M and put wrestler, Mr. Grimm wrestler. Like, you'll see a lot of my stuff come up. You'll see this website that I'm a part of. It's called Brown Butter Wrestling. And, you know, I have, like, different merchandise on there. It has my social media on there. You know, a bunch of different little outlets for you to check out on there. But if you want to go to YouTube, same thing, The Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm. Or you can just put Mr. Grimm versus. And then, you know, my matches will come up. If you want to go to Twitter, my Twitter handle is at Mr. Grimm _ IS, the number 4, _ hire, HIRE. Like, you can check me out on there as well. And then for Instagram, it's Hitman 4, the number 4, hire. That's all one word. _ Mr. _ Grimm.
All right. Well, there you go. I mean, I would suggest do the Google thing first, because that was a lot of letters and numbers.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you go to Google, either Mr. Grimm Wrestler or The Hitman for Hire Mr. Grimm, you know, you'll see a lot of my stuff come up, and you can just go from there, honestly. And the reason that I put the moniker the way it is so people, you know, could find me a lot easier.
And if you're listening to this show and you go to our page, you will find Mr. Grimm's highlights and whatnot on our page. So either go find Mr. Grimm or hop on over to us, and we'll direct you in the right path.
Greatly appreciated.
So, Mr. Grimm, thank you so much for taking the time and talking with us. We really appreciate it, and best of luck going forward.
I appreciate you having me.
All right. Until the next time.
Yes, sir.
All right. Have
Thanks,
a good one.
Thanks a lot. And there you have it, our interview with Mr. Grimm. I wasn't expecting the peek behind the curtain like we got.
No, you know what? We didn't know what we were expecting doing this interview, so
no.
I mean, the whole thing was a surprise to us. I mean, we learned a lot about the insides, not so much the actual quote-unquote insides of the wrestling business, but you're right, you get a little peek behind the curtain, and I mean, it's all pretty interesting. The funny thing is about every time we do an interview for this show is there's a different path.
Yes.
Each time to get into this business. It's not everybody takes, like, you would think, like, oh, back in the day, okay, you go to the the best schools and you learn from the best teachers and you try, you have one path.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get to WWE. That's your path. Now, nowadays, I mean, you get in from almost anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and any not, and different
your,
ways.
And your path isn't, like, your end goal isn't necessarily the big company. Your end goal can be to work for as many of the smaller but well-known companies, or your goal could be to go overseas and wrestle in Britain or Mexico or, I don't know.
Japan. Yeah.
Anywhere. I mean, it's funny where these stories that you hear and you can see that, where they could possibly end up.
Yeah.
Like each interview that we've done. I mean, I could see Mr. Grimm. I could see him fit perfectly with AEW because he's right. I mean, the roster depth, the diversity on the roster isn't there. So, I mean, it would make sense. They don't have someone like that. But again, you can see him in...
I think GCW is the other one, like we said.
Yeah, GCW, he'd be a really good fit. I mean, yeah. He's got that hitman, I want to fight mentality, and you see that at GCW. And the passion of the fans there, it would be a great fit.
It really would. Yeah, so, I mean, it was a lot of fun talking with him, getting to know him, seeing highlights of his style and what he does in the ring, like we said, is up on our Twitter account, on our timeline, so go check it out or take a look, either one of them, not both of them at the same time, but he is very entertaining, and I hope his name kind of blows up a little bit and he can catch on with one of the bigger companies.
Yeah, I mean, you hear his stories and how, I mean, he keeps coming up, not so much he keeps coming up short, but he keeps getting directed in different companies and whatnot. Like, he can't find a solid home, but he really wants it. I mean, he wants to get noticed, and that's pretty much what everybody wants. They want to get noticed, and unfortunately now getting noticed isn't just your in-ring work. Your getting noticed could be going viral, and more times than not for independents, if you go viral, now you're noticed. So that's basically what you got to hope for. That right person, like he said, looks at it, likes it, puts it out there. It's kind of an endorsement, and then you get more eyes on it.
Yeah, so I did want to touch on, real quick, just go over a couple points about Elimination Chamber. And first of all, yes, we were at Elimination Chamber. Yeah, I got that. I want to play a piece of audio for everybody, and they can hear how we went to Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
Answer to the stupid question. The TV show The Addams Family is based on a comic that ran in what publication? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go to Joe for the answer. Hey, Joe, how you doing, man? Joe? All right, Joe, what publication ran the comic The Addams Family?
That would be The New Yorker.
The New Yorker, yes. You're correct, Joe. Hang on a second. Was that Eric Lindros for a moment? I don't know where that came from.
I didn't touch it.
All right, so, Joe, hang on the line. We are going to give you a 4-pack of tickets for the WWE Elimination Chamber coming to Philly for the first time in the Wells Fargo Center, yes?
So, that, as you heard, was Joe winning tickets.
I am now a local celebrity
on the Preston and Steve show. One for those who are not here in Philadelphia.
Morning shows in Philadelphia.
The top
the
morning show.
Philadelphia area.
Yes. And nonsensical, it's what we based our show off of loosely because we love it so much.
It's the blueprint to a great show, and we might have sketched a couple drawings from that blueprint.
Exactly.
Are we jocking their style? Yes.
Absolutely.
But we know it's a success, and that's why we do it.
For sure.
That's why everyone does the fucking super kick.
Yeah, exactly.
They know it works. We are doing the super kick of radio personality impersonations. We are the super kick.
Yes.
And but God damn it, we're going to be used by everybody.
The best thing in the world was listening to that show live and hearing them call the name Joe and thinking, well, I mean, Joe is one of the most common names, period.
It's like Muhammad.
Yeah. And then hearing his voice do that squeak, I was in tears. In tears, I was laughing so hard because I knew immediately who it was.
Yep.
And then, of course, you going into your New Yorker
Yes, the New Yorker.
Yeah.
The New Yorker.
Made me laugh even harder.
Let me get a slice of pizza, yo.
And then we won. We won a four-pack of tickets, so we went to Elimination Chamber. And
a free event is a great event.
Or so we thought it was going to be a great event. No, it was. It was entertaining.
You know what? It was a good event. The expectations were low for this, so, mm-hmm. I mean, they over-delivered, I think.
On a good amount of matches, I agree, yes.
There were
a couple that were lackluster.
There was a couple, and the crowd lost interest, and I think that projected on TV, so it hurt it a little as well. Because, yeah, the crowd was wiped after the first three matches, and then after the Taker pop, the crowd was wiped. And the following, I mean, there was a little pop for Sammy when he won.
Yes.
But other than that, I mean, the crowd was wiped.
Yeah, and you know what? It came off.
They were tired.
A lot of people were saying how the Philly crowd didn't deliver, that the Philly crowd was really weird.
Well, what did they want us to do? Throw car batteries at Shayna Baszler after she won? We're not that type of person anymore. We have evolved as a human. We do not throw snowballs at Shayna anymore. So why would we throw batteries at Shayna Baszler? Shame on you people out there bad-mouthing us normal humans just trying to live our lives as Philadelphians. Shame on you.
But that first match was worth, worth the price of admission, but we didn't pay anything.
It was worth a free ticket.
It was worth the ticket for sure. Gulak and Bryan absolutely destroyed it. And I was kind of worried with that crowd because I didn't know if the Philly crowd was going to have the attention span to give these two time to work with the style that they were going to be working.
They did.
And they did. And not only that, they got the time. They got the 12 to 15 minutes I was hoping for, and it was great. And even the United States title match was a very good match, and the men's tag chamber was very well done. It was quick-paced. It was 12 minutes longer than the women's, but you would never guess that watching the women's because it seemed like an eternity.
Well, there was a different end game for the women's.
Yes.
And that became very, very clear, and it delivered its point perfectly. There was a specific design to that women's chamber match. And look, you have people cheering Baszler before you go into the match with Becky. It hurts.
Yes.
So what did you do? You made sure that no one wanted to cheer by the end of that match. And guess what? No one was.
No.
No one was cheering. People were booing. People said that it sucked. Well, you think it sucks, but now you think Baszler is overhyped. Mm-hmm. Now you think she's the bad guy. Well, guess what? She's supposed to be the heel. She's supposed to be the heel in this. She just literally destroyed everybody in that match, who she shouldn't have, and she did.
Yes.
So now people are pissed at that. They're pissed at the way that the match went. Okay, you're supposed to be pissed at the heel. That's the reaction that they wanted. That's what they gave you. You ate it up, and you said how much it sucked. Well, it didn't, if you think about it. It was designed for one point only.
To make her look strong.
2 points. Make her look invincible,
mm-hmm.
and to get you to not like her.
Yeah, and it they delivered. Mission accomplished. Absolutely. Yes.
So by saying that you hated, that was the worst main event, how could they do that? Well, they did that because they wanted you to say that.
Well, and you know
if
what?
If they wanted to give people a chance, they would have.
That's the thing, is that we were walking out of the center, and I hear someone in front of me say, well, at least we got The Undertaker. That is also what they wanted. They wanted the people that were going to be upset about this, which was a lot of people, and they knew this, like you said, because it's what they wanted to happen, is they wanted people to walk out and go, God, man, I did not like the end of that, but hey, we got The Undertaker, and like,
but we got to see that part-timer that yeah. we paid our money for.
Like, that's the only thing I was like, I'm not taking, I'm glad, like, my takeaway was, man, I'm so glad I got to see that Daniel Bryan Gulak match. Like, thank God they did that right. Not, oh man, well, you know what, the night wasn't all lost, we saw The Undertaker. Like, granted, the gong, it's hard not to pop when you hear that, especially live.
It's meant to pop you, and it does yeah. every time. There might not be a time ever that the gong, just like the glass shattering.
Yes.
Or if you smell what the Rock is cooking. Doesn't pop. There might not ever be a time until we get light years from now that won't pop you.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And it always will.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a big fucking Undertaker fan. But I'll say, you hear the gong, you go, ooh, you get the goosebumps.
Yes. Yeah.
You get the goosey bumps.
So I think overall, C, C plus, right?
C plus is what you gave it. Yeah. You graded it on a curve.
Yeah.
I would give it a C plus.
Yeah.
I say that's fair.
And
I'd say it wasn't meant to be the best pay-per-view of the year,
no.
But it surely was not the worst.
No, it was entertaining enough to where it definitely is not ranked like that. I agree. So we'll see what happens going forward. AEW's post Revolution shows were really good. I mean, NXT, I'm still more drawn to AEW at this point.
AEW has that intrigue, mystery, and strong storytelling right now, so they will continue to lead the ratings war of the Wednesday night wrestling wars. But I mean, they're just doing it better right now. They're probably the best wrestling show that is televised. Excuse me.
Yeah, I think you're right. No, I agree with that. So, but yeah, there's a lot still to happen. We got Blood and Guts coming up in 2 weeks. And then not long after that, we have the weekend that is WrestleMania with all the independent shows, the Hall of Fame. You got NXT TakeOver. So it's going to be really, really fun coming up. A lot of wrestling to talk, and hopefully more interviews from our end as well.
Yes. Maybe one later in the week.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see how we feel. Maybe.
So we hope you enjoyed the interview with the Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm. And like he said, follow him on all social medias. Go the easy route. Look him up on Google. Just like that, the Hitman for Hire, Mr. Grimm. And follow him and check out his highlight reel because it's pretty damn impressive. So we hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll be talking to you very soon.
Later.